Tony, would you come and pray for him?
Father, we thank you for Bruce, Lord. We thank you for the anointing on him and the mantle that is on him. We pray, Father, that you would just bless him and that he would speak your word through your Holy Spirit today. You'd be on him, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning.
It's quiet in here. Why is it so quiet on Mother's Day?
Well, I want to just encourage you, before I step into sharing a little bit here, that with Kim and Darlene Unruh, who are sort of apostolic advisors, not sort of, they are, for our community, and then Esther and Sharon, who were here last week, like you heard Esther say, out of the 11 previous worship sessions she'd been in, cumulatively, they didn't compare to what she experienced here. As Charlotte led us, as the team led us, and as your hunger and your desire for Jesus, for his presence and to honor him, she was overwhelmed. And she's been in a lot of contexts. And Kim and Darlene, they said, they don't know of any place that they go to or have been where they see so much relational health. So I want to just affirm you in saying, the people that come are so blessed by what they experience in this context. And so it's just awesome. That's because of your heart for him and your love for one another. So that's great. I'm just going to take a little bit of time this morning and begin to unpack more in the following weeks. I just got back from Uganda on April 30th. I will say this dynamic of going, whether to Uganda, I want to share a little bit with you, but I also want to share that my heart for each one of you is to be able to come into the fullness of what God has for you. Of a discovery of your identity, because when you know who you are, you know where you're going, because your identity is like a North Star, that no matter how dark of a night it is, you're able to navigate through the darkest of nights to be able to get to your destination, but it's directly related to your identity, because when you know who your Father is, you know who you are, and when you know who you are, you know where you're going. But we're in a journey of a discovery of our identity, our true identity in Christ. I like to say I believe that we're either living out of our true identity or we're living out of a false persona. It's this dynamic of those two things that are going on that we're in a battle with. But just as Israel, they were sons and daughters of the Most High God, but they were living as slaves in Egypt, and they had to take a step off the bank of the known and the familiar, go through a vast sea of unknown to be able to come into a whole new territory, a whole new place. And the only way we can move forward step by step into what God has for us, into the future, into the destiny, is by knowing our identity. And in the Message version, if you look up identity, it talks about our identity is formed by God through his word, by his prophets and his pastors. That it's the dynamic of God telling us this is who you are, and when you discover who you are, you start going and doing what you're created and designed to do, and then we're alive. How many of you, just out of curiosity, you feel like you're a slave in the job that you're in? One person only. Well, two. Three. More hands are going up. But you may feel enslaved in different areas within life. Sometimes it's our mindset and our perspective of what we're in. And sometimes it's because the Lord is drying it up to lead us into something else. And it's going to take a significant step of faith to come into what it is that the Lord has for you. And this is a journey. It's again and again. It isn't one time like they stepped off the banks of the Red Sea. They also stepped off the banks of the Jordan. They entered and they crossed over. There's decisions that we're going to have to make to come into what it is that God has for us. But I'll say there's an adventure that he has for each and every single one of us that's amazing. And for that, sometimes there are necessary endings. If you haven't read a great book lately, Henry Cloud of Cloud and Townsend and Boundaries, a book called Necessary Endings. There are necessary endings sometimes. We're inviting people into a place of a depth of relationship. We're bringing in accountability in places of work or even in marriage and family. But there are some times where there are necessary endings to be able to come into what it is that God has for us. But it's always future focused. Because God has an amazing future for us. But there are necessary endings. And I want to talk about a necessary ending in an area of my life in 1999. All year from the beginning of January 1999, the Lord kept waking me up at 5:55 a.m. At that time, I wasn't getting up that early. And it's like, okay, I get it. Grace, grace, grace. I get it. Why do you keep doing this? Anybody ever have a dream or an experience that it seems like it keeps on repeating itself? Same dream or similar dream? Well, then I'm in good company. The reason that it's repeating is because you haven't yet got the message. Anybody either see numbers or you have an experience that just seems to keep on repeating and repeating? Well, it's happening because God's speaking to us through it, but we haven't yet got the message. So I kept on going, okay, I get it. 5:55, grace, grace, grace. And I even thought, in 1974, when I came to Jesus and had a powerful encounter, he gave me Isaiah 55:5. But after asking the Lord again and again, what are you doing? You know, you keep on waking me up and I feel like I've gotten the message. What are you doing? And then he said, Isaiah 55:5. And I knew the whole chapter, but I started looking at verse 3. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so you can live. Then I will make an unconditional covenantal promise to you, just like the reliable covenantal promise I made to David. Look, I made him a witness to nations, a ruler and a commander of nations. Look, you will summon nations you did not previously know. Nations that did not previously know you will run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he bestows honor on you. I was pastoring Saanich Vineyard on Keating Crossroad. And the Lord said, I'm calling you to the nations, and the nations are going to be calling you. I wound up stepping out in faith, and for the next 6 months, absolutely nothing happened. Ran out of money. Got into debt. And there was not a thing going on. And it's like, God, what is happening? And he reminded me that he spoke to me that I'm going to have 6 months of a very difficult season before the release takes place. And then at the end of that 6 months, in January of 2000, all of a sudden, three people, independently of one another, two of them that I hardly even knew, got a hold of me and gave me a financial blessing that took care of the debt that we'd accumulated over that time. And then all the doors started opening up. And from about 1999 till 2004, 5 years, interesting, I went to about 42 nations in that 5 years. And it was just amazing what God was doing and the favor that was taking place. But I had to take the risk and step off the banks of the known and the familiar. Go through a vast sea of unknown. I will say, whatever it is that God has planned for you, whatever vision he has for your life, it's way beyond your ability. You do not have the ability to do it. If you have a vision that you have the ability, the understanding, and the resources to be able to achieve, I want to tell you, it's yours and not God's. The vision that God has for our life is like Moses. I want you to deliver 3 million people out of slavery in Egypt. I want you to take them through a wilderness, and then I want you to be able to possess a land where you're going to be outnumbered 100-1 and with people with years of experience in war. Everything that he called them to was way beyond his ability. It's the test that I know when you tell me that you have a vision, that I'll be able to discern whether it's God or yours. Because it'll always be on your be way beyond your ability, because you're going to need to, on one hand, trust God, because if you can do it for God, you're going to take a measure of the credit for it. But when it's beyond you, you're going to humble yourself. You're going to look to Him, and only He is going to do this. There's no other way it's going to happen. Now, we may be somewhere in a journey where we're taking measures of risks, but I will say the risk that God's calling each one of us to for His glory, for His name, for His honor, and for our satisfaction because of doing what we're designed to do is way greater. I haven't read it. Kate's been telling me about a book, John Piper. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. It's all in reference to making money, looking forward to retirement, paying off your mortgage, rather than looking for what it is, the purpose that God has for you here in this life. And there's a purpose that's way beyond those things. Those other things that I'm talking about are important, but they have to be secondary to the plan and the purpose that God has for you in this life. They have to be secondary. They have to be taken care of. But if you're going to find the life that He has for you, you're going to have to go on a journey. You're going to have to be willing to take the risks and step off the banks. And as you do, a whole new world's going to open up before you. And it's almost like seeing the greater the risk, the greater the opportunity. For Him to get more glory, and for you to be more satisfied. There's an old saying, God is most glorified when we as His creatures are most satisfied in Him, and I've added to it that we are most satisfied in Him when He is most glorified through us. And it happens when we're doing what we're created to do, which is walking by faith. When nothing adds up, when nothing makes any sense. I'm wanting to state that just to be able to share a couple of things with you. About 10 years ago, I started going to Uganda. The favor has grown. We've been a part of developing 4 schools there. Building one completely and then building 3 others of partially and with other partners involved. And Andrew and Terry went. Terry came on one trip. She's going to be back soon, Terry Bandman. And you'll hear from her just some of the report. But I took her on one trip, and you've heard her story. She said when she was there, she realized who she was, and she saw herself when she looked in the mirror, and she realized that's who she is, and that's where she needs to be. Watching them there, they are alive. They're 2 of my heroes. Because he only had a couple of months left before he could get a early retirement and a good package. And 3 months, I think it is, before he could do that, they left. And he let that go because of what God put in their heart. It's crazy. It's absolutely mad. But when you see them and you're with them, they're so alive doing what they're designed to do. But they were working in Mityana, Uganda. And on one of the trips when I was there, I said, Andrew, you need to move to Kampala. And you need to work with Dale, because Dale is an apostolic leader who is not building his own empire. He's actually advancing the kingdom of God. And if we partner there, we're going to experience way more. And Dale is leading Word of Life Church in Kosovo, Kampala, which is just a horrific slum. It's where we were just at. And Victor built a bridge. And if you have seen the pictures, if not, you can look them up on Facebook. But he built a bridge, and it's over just this place where there's water, but really all it is just garbage and a flowing sewer. But he built a bridge over that. But I want to say, in this place, Dale, he has wanted to be able to not only pastor a church, but pastor a community. And in the midst of a slum, if you've anybody see the movie Queen of Katwa? Many of you. Well, you know what it looks like. This is what Kosovo looks like. Is it looks like that slum. But what Deo has done, it's very similar to the story of the Queen of Katwa, of he has believed in these children, and some of them have come at age 5. One of them, Levickson, he doesn't know who his father was because his mother doesn't know who it was that got her pregnant. And he came at age 5 to go to the church, but he kept on coming back. It wasn't just for the food. Now he liked the music and he liked the dancing. Well, now Levickson is like the top reggae gospel musician and has won more awards than anybody else in Uganda and is ministering all over East Africa as well. And a young man that came, Defari, so whether look up Levickson or Defari on YouTube, you can listen to some reggae gospel music if you're into that. They say the Jamaicans didn't start with it. They started with it. The Jamaicans took it on. And so it's some really great music, but it's amazing seeing what's happening out of there. Miss Uganda came out of this church. Levickson came out of this church. A young man named Trinity, also not knowing his father, he started doing entrepreneurial things at age 9, out of a slum, doing so well that he actually raised the money to put himself through school, through university. And when he went to university, he always bought the two people to his left and his right their lunch every day. He just did this. And now he has financed many other young people to go through university, and they're in his business called 92 Hands. We're seeing a slum that's being transformed, and then Levickson and Trinity, the entrepreneur and the musician, partnered together and taught a whole bunch of kids gymnastics and dance. I met these kids. You can watch this on our Children Arise website. There's many different videos, but these kids are absolutely amazing, and they just did a tour through China of doing gymnastics and dance. And it's awesome. So what we're currently in the place of doing is we only want to do what we see the Father doing. We only want to say what we hear the Father saying. So what we see Him doing there is unique. We're partnered with Tracy Evans and Children Arise in Mozambique, and it's with a trade school. But what we see God doing here is investing in lives in such a significant way. What it's doing is the level of hope in the community is rising because it's no longer an anomaly. It's story after story of major breakthroughs in a slum that's being transformed that is a disaster, and yet there's new businesses going up. There's beautiful apartments going up that are brand new. In the midst of a slum, it's being changed. But when they went there, when Deo went there, you'll hear his story one day. Basically, he describes it like, I could throw a stone almost in any direction in Kosovo and hit a witch doctor. There were so many because Kosovo was Idi Amin's graveyard for the dissidents that resisted him, or he thought resisted him. And the witch doctors love to go to places where there's the shedding of innocent blood because they feel like they have power as a result of it. So it was a horrific place, but the transformation taking place as they prayed and as you hear the stories are incredible. But my heart is that if we work at the bottom, we're going to have influence at the top. And the more we're working at the bottom, now crazy things are happening. So the last time I was there in June and July of last year, I was brought to two different ministerial meetings, and as they heard the message that I was carrying in reference to discipling nations and transformation, they said, you've got to come back. You need to speak to the president and his cabinet. You need to speak to our municipal government. And they just started saying, we're going to open it up. And so we just went. I took Ian Green with me on this last trip. He's from the UK, speaks in many places on transformation. But so I got to speak to many of the cabinet members within the government of Kampala, the mayor of Kampala and the municipal leaders, and to be able to also speak to bankers, business people, key people in different areas and different places of influence within society. And it's like the favor is just growing and increasing. But I also feel like this is part of who I am. This is part of what He's made me for. And I'm just seeing such an incredible release, but I'm having so much joy because of seeing what God's doing.
It's not about who I am, but it's about who is living in me. Even Jesus said, these aren't my words, it's the Father speaking through me. It's the Father doing the works through me. It's the Father living in me doing it all. And the reality is it's got nothing to do with your potential or ability. What's the potential of Christ in you? The Christ who's living in you, living for you, and living through you. What is His potential? He says, guys, you know what? This is in your best interest if I go. It's to your advantage. It's more beneficial for you if I go. Because if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and then I can actually live in you, for you, and through you. So the potential is based upon, in many ways, what you can imagine that Christ can do in you, for you, and through you. And maybe that sanctified imagination is actually faith and God speaking to you. And so it's like, what do you want to do? But I'll say, just the favor. And I feel like it's got nothing to do with me, but it's like, in every meeting I didn't have one note. Because I felt like the Lord said, it's in you. I'm going to give you what you need in each meeting. And meanwhile, I will say, before going, I'm feeling this pressure of these people I'm going to be with. And feeling like, I've got to get ready. And every time I came into a place of rest, a peace would come. Of, I'm going to give you what you need at the time. And He did. But I'll say, more than the dynamic of even that context, what blessed me is opportunities that were very unique. Where the one time I had an impression of just coming up to a young lady as she was just speaking, and to kneel before her and ask her forgiveness for what her father and father figures had done in her life, and to be able to forgive and release. And we spent a couple of hours there as she's going through the process, because I don't want to get into just her history. It's crazy. But what she did is she began to forgive. She began to release. She began to look to her Heavenly Father. She was literally being set free of demonic things that had been holding her for a long time. Her heart was being healed. And the next day her husband said, it's the first time she's ever slept through the night that I've seen. And she slept through the night every night since. And she's had just an incredible peace. And she saw me the last day, and it just so blessed me, because the Lord said, she wants you to be a father to her. She's going to ask you, but before she does, I want you to just tell her what the Lord's showed you and put in your heart. And I will say, I told her that, and then she was wonderfully a mess again. But since now, April 26, she's slept every night, and her husband says she is just an absolutely different woman. So I'll tell you, just the transformation of an individual life was more satisfying for me and more rewarding for me than all the other opportunities. And the realities are that He wants to transform people around you and through you in all the relational connections, and whether it's stories like Cliff and Andrea are sharing, the opportunity people have because of meeting you is incredible. And it's this dynamic of learning to be able to trust the abiding of Jesus in you, that He has released you, and now it's this process of learning to release Him. But as you do, all of heaven breaks loose. All of heaven starts coming down. And it's crazy when you start having a childlike faith and stepping into things. Start having encounter after encounter after encounter and manifestations of Jesus. But it's always taking the risk, whether it's in a moment of time. Another thing that was very satisfying is, went to Cafe Java a couple of times. Adam, you go to Cafe Java? You did? Was it good? Was the food better than God? By the way, where'd Michael go? I want to know where that restaurant is. I want to make sure I check it off of my list and don't go there. What's that? It's just Michael? Okay. So just to say I'm here with different leaders within the nation, and we're eating at Cafe Java's, and the waitress comes, and her name's Desire, and I said, Desire, you actually, and I started getting a flow of words of knowledge, you actually have a desire to be in business. You were going to go to university for courses so you could be in business, but you didn't have the resources, and so now you're working here instead. I said, if you do what you can, this is Dale saying, the man that we're working with in the slum, he says, if you do what you can with what you have where you are, God does the rest. And so I said, start stepping into going back to school with the resources you have, because you're going to start three different businesses. One of them is a clothing store. And you're going to have different locations, but you're going to have the wisdom and discernment to know which locations. But as you move forward in what you have, it's going to be like the five loaves and two fishes of Jesus that are multiplied. Well, just in doing this, she's a wonderful mess because of God landing on her, and she's going, how do you know this? This is my heart. And I said, you want to do this because you want to provide for your family. And you also know this is what you're made for. But the joy that I had as well is watching the leaders around me, because there's a disengagement sometimes with those that are serving. And so it was a great model of seeing something shift in them. But my heart in sharing these stories are, sometimes you have a crazy thought, just a random thing going through your mind. But only when you start stepping out on these random thoughts, impressions, feelings, do you start seeing Jesus breaking through, heaven breaking through, and you start moving towards what it is that God has for you. But faith can quite often be spelt R-I-S-K. And the limitations of our experience or of His glory are sometimes in our unwillingness to take the risks. And my heart, because of whose we are, is that we learn to take more and more risks, because what if it is God? Instead of all the other what ifs, let the what if this is God trump every other what if. What if nothing happens? What if this is just me? What if I lose everything? It's like, what if this is God? I'm going to leave you with that. But I want us to, I'm going to just step into more of some of the things I feel like that I've been teaching there, and the Lord said, you need to teach it here. And so I'll be kicking into that next week. But I hope you have an awesome Mother's Day. I talked to both my mothers this morning, and it was great, my biological one and to Esther. But make sure you phone your mothers or your spiritual mothers. Not spiritual fathers, you can wait for a couple of weeks for that one. But Father, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are and who we are in you. And Father, I ask there would be an awareness, whether it's in a simple little opportunity with people around us, or whether it's a major life-changing venture. But Jesus, I ask that just as the butterfly, the cocoon, or the chicken, the egg, the only reason they break out is because they run out of the food supply. I ask that a hunger would begin to drive us to be able to bust out and bust out of any kind of place that we might be staying in longer than is necessary. And although, whether it be a womb or a cocoon, but we'd realize there's a time to be able to break out and come into a whole new world, getting a whole new perspective. But we'd be aware it's going to require a risk. But I ask there would be an anticipation like never before, that the hunger that's there in us is going to be rewarded, is going to be satisfied, is going to be met. And it isn't about waiting for you, it's about you waiting for us. And Lord, you're patiently waiting for us to come into new things, new places, and living a new way. Some of you are going to begin to live a new way. You're going to start to see a new way, and you're going to start to live a new way. And you're going to go, oh, there I am. Some of you are in a place of you've lost your sense of identity because of things that have happened. Financial loss, relational loss, different adversity, health things. But I see as you start stepping in, you're going to start seeing your identity again. And you're going to have a confidence of the destiny that it is that God has prepared for you already. And he's just waiting for us. So bless you. Have a great day. Get a hug. Pray for somebody. And parents, if you have children down the hall, go and get them.